meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon, listeners. It's Friday, and it is a first Friday in summer. So we all are just cheering at our desks or our kitchens or our cars because summer's about to kick off for a great weekend. And the weather here in Chicago is absolutely outstanding. Thank you, Nick, and thank you, Father God, for such incredible weather. And as you can hear, I'm not Father Anthony. This is Loretta Frelick from the Mary and Loretta Show, filling in for Father today. And we have for you a very special guest from the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to get to in just a moment. But first, listeners, I have to tell you, I have a wonderful, wonderful mother. And if you haven't figured that out from listening to my show and listening to this show when I fill in for Father Anthony, she was up all night and she was praying for the souls that were on the Titan submersible. It really distressed my darling mom. And so, you know, I at first I was thinking about these guys, thinking, you know, you guys are really foolish. Why would you get in a teeny, teeny, tiny little submarine? I guess I'm letting all the listeners know I'm a weak claustrophobic. But, you know, the more I prayed about it, the more the Lord showed me that these men were explorers. They were explorers like De Soto and De Pineda, who first found the Mississippi River. They were like any of the pilgrims. They were like Columbus, Joliet, Marquette, and LaSalle here in Chicago. And really, they were. They were explorers. They were the last one of them. Stockton Rush was described as one of the last great dreamers. And, you know, Hamish Harding is an explorer. Paul Henry Narguilet, he was a French diver. And the Dawoods, Father Shahzaz and son Suleiman, they were both just adventurers. And that spirit is something that God gave them. And so, and the son, Suleiman, he was a little apprehensive about getting on that Titan submersible, as I read it, but that he did it as a gift for his father because his father was super excited and his father wanted him to join him. So, listeners, offer up a little prayer for them and just for the repose of their souls. And we just thank you, Father, for them. We thank you for their adventurous spirit. It is how we learn and advance our civilization and how we make new finds. And so for the gift of these five men who were killed on the Titanic sub, we just want to offer a prayer for the repose of their souls. And the Lord was merciful. They did not die in a lengthy ordeal without heat or air. The sub, or the submersible, as they're calling it, apparently blew up. And that's the news we're getting from our Navy and the Canadian Navy. And so I think We can thank God for a merciful death for these men, and we just want to pray for their families and for their soul. And now we're going to get to just a terrific guest. Mother Lucy has been a friend. I have been in ministry with Mother Lucy. This woman is best described as a joy bomb. Mother Lucy, are you with us?
I am, Loretta. So good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear us. Now, Mother Lucy, I need you to pronounce your last name for me because I've just gotten away with Mother Lucy for years.
Okay, so the American translation would be Lukasevich.
Lukasevich. Now,
yes.
How are you? How did you find the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and who are they?
Okay, so how I found the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ was I had a great experience with the Lord as a teenager, and I knew God was calling me in my heart to follow Him. And so I really put that request back to God. Okay, God, if you're calling me, you need to show me which congregation you are calling me to. And so I heard of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through this sister. Her name was Sister Mary Frances, came to our parish in Nebraska, and she was speaking to the parishioners about this move of the Holy Spirit in the Catholic Church, and it was called the Charismatic Renewal. And I had already experienced that, and so after she spoke, she said, if there was anybody who would like to have prayers, you know, please come, and I will pray with you. So she came to our pew, and I was with my mother, my father, my siblings, and she said, what can I pray for? And my mother said she feels the call to religious life, like a good mother, right?
Right.
She speaks for you. And so this Sister Mary Frances, she just said, and my heart started beating so fast, I knew that what she was going to say was going to change my life forever. And she said, boy, have I got the community for you.
Wow.
And she told me about the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this sister was, she was from a Marian community up in Iowa, and she had met our foundress, Mother Jean Marie, in Spokane, Washington, on retreat. She was enthralled with Mother Jean Marie and the vision of the community, and so she shared about Mother Jean Marie, she shared about the community. Our congregation was in Texas, and it was Franciscan, and immediately my heart just started beating. Like, I knew in my heart, this is something God wanted me to pursue.
Praise
God. And so then shortly after, I was able to contact then Sister Philip was the vocation directress, and now she's got one of our sisters in retirement right now. And so she's the one that connected me, and I just started the process, and pretty much the rest is history.
Praise God. Well, what a brilliant history it is, because I know you can't see Mother Lucy on the radio, but I just want you to picture this beautiful face that glows with eyes that sparkle and a smile that could light up Broadway. So Mother Lucy is what I call a joy bomb. She changes the atmosphere wherever she goes, and that's because she's so in love with Jesus, she just exudes His joy. Now, can you tell me, how did you become the Mother Superior?
Oh, not by choice, but by the will of God. Oh, my goodness. It was in 2002. Where we had our general elections, and Mother Jean Marie had served us faithfully for all those years from 1972 to just into the mid 90s, where Sister Bernadette, who was our second Superior General, she served up until 2002, and then we had general elections, which is a democratic election. You know, it's not an
sure.
appointment; it's a general. There are elections. And so I heard my name come up as a somebody who could be elected. And so it's like I just began to inside just continue to give my surrender to God. Like, I don't know where this is going to go, but Lord, your will be done. And then shortly after, I was elected Superior General, the third Superior General of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And our beloved Father Michael Scanlon,
yes.
He was there present, and as well as our bishop. He was one of the observers. So that was, you know, wonderful to have Father Michael Scanlon there. And, of
yes.
course, Bishop John Yonta, just wonderful. And their support was just so incredible. So, go ahead.
You're right, sister, because if our listeners do not know, Father Michael Scanlon was an absolutely brilliant man. And he was Harvard educated and gave his life to the Lord and basically said, I'm sitting in this forest until you show up, and waited. And he then heard the call to priesthood. He didn't know if he should go to the Franciscans or if he should go to the Dominicans. And the Dominican order valued a brilliant mind, and he knew he had a brilliant mind. He was somebody that, it's been said, would have been in President Kennedy's kitchen cabinet. He was that well-connected and that brilliant. And so because of the fact that Dominicans valued a brilliant mind, he chose the Franciscans. And he was humble and obedient to God until the day he died. And one of the things that he was called to do by his order was apply for the presidency of Steubenville. And he didn't want to, but he heard the Lord tell him to. And he changed Steubenville and, I believe, the life of this Catholic nation as Steubenville raises up Catholic leaders for us today.
Yes, yes.
So, to
and
have,
I actually attended Franciscan University for one semester. I was a formation directress, and so I was taking some courses on theology, and Father Michael Scanlon was cheering me on, and he was just a wonderful support and really a father figure. He was a father figure to every one of those students there at Franciscan University. Just amazing, just amazing.
Yes. Well, now, what are the responsibilities of a Mother General?
Well, as a Mother General, I'm the superior over the whole general community. So we have convents in Mexico, New
right.
Mexico, a convent in Amarillo, a convent in Pittsburgh, and then we have missionary works outside of that. So I'm overall general to make sure that the congregation flourishes,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, the sisters there flourish. They keep, you know, they keep their religious vows, their religious life, that they become that viable witness, that vibrant witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm the superior general, but in those convents, we have what we'd call local superior.
Okay.
So they would be kind of centralized to that area, but they are, you know, accountable to me,
sure.
and I'm accountable to our local ordinary, Bishop Patrick Zurich.
Well, that's exciting. And can you tell us about your charism? How are you different from other orders of religious sisters?
Right. Well, we were founded in 1972, so this was right after the close of the Vatican Council. And so, you know, and a lot of religious congregations sprang up from that point. So we came up with great fervor. And from the get-go, Mother John Marie, our foundress, had a great love for prayer. So that's kind of central to who we are. But then she had this great love and desire to spread the gospel. So our work is, you know, our work is prayer. But our apostolate is, as well as prayer, is evangelization. So no matter whether we're at the convent and we're aging with grace, we're still missionaries to the different countries, like St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who never left her convent,
right.
but she was considered the patron saint of missionaries. And then Francis Xavier, also patron saint of missionaries, he went forth. So, and that was very much the style of St. Francis of Assisi. He was drawn to prayer, drawn to the love of God, but then it was the Spirit of God moving him to go out and evangelize. And this comes forth from a life in the Spirit through, the spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 8, you know, that we are open to these gifts and really being able to be the disciples empowered to go forth and minister to God's people.
Praise God. Well, when we come back from our very first break, we're going to hear about the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ publication, Praise Him, and here's some of the ways in which the sisters evangelize. I'm Loretta Frelick, filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, the new EWTN Catholic Radio voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio, AM 750, WNDZ 88.5 FM, WSFL.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear Winds of Change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link.
Welcome back, listeners. We're with Mother Lucy. Oh, here we go again, sister. Lukashevitz?
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
I'm just going to fall back on Mother Lucy. Now, Mother Lucy, your order puts out just a brilliant little publication called Praise Him. And it always, always just touches the heart of me, at least, when I get it. But it's always got something from Cardinal Rinero Cantalamessa. And, you know, it just is it promotes new life in Christ. And I was particularly touched by, you know, your letter this month where you say the Holy Spirit is a gift to be given so that every man, woman, and child would be extraordinarily changed into the likeness of Jesus. What a great, great guide for life. How is it that your sisters provide all these ministries and events?
You know, and that's clearly by the grace of God, Loretta, that we are able to do all of this. You know, we are receiving young vocations, and so we try to integrate them into this work of mission, work of spreading the gospel, work of life in the Spirit. And so we get people who actually hear about us and they call us and they say, sisters, can you do a ministry perhaps in the Diocese of Amarillo? Or can you do a ministry I'm going to be doing something in Scranton, Pennsylvania, or in California, or our sister's going to Africa. We just had one of our sisters leave on mission team and the other will join her in another week. So we get these requests from people to do this work. And so we pray about it. And according to our availability, then we go out. We kind of see that as a sign. Our availability is a sign that God is calling us.
Praise
and
God.
Moving us.
Well, mm-hmm. Here in the Chicagoland area, your sisters for the longest time did the children's portion of our Catholic Charismatic Conference. And really, it was such a gift. The children were raised up in the truth of the church. There was fun and games, but it wasn't fun and games. They were learning the faith. And it also gave a gift to the adult participants so that they could freely go and attend the adult portion of the conference, all while their children were entrusted to your sisters, who ran a great program and really set these young kids on fire for God. So that is one of the ways in which your ministry as the disciples has assisted the church at large here in Chicago. And I also have been so blessed by being able to minister with you and Sister Bernadette and others in, you know, different missions to individuals around the country. And I'm certainly blessed to know you and to know your sisters. And you certainly bless everybody. It's so awesome to watch. Now tell me, sister, what is the purpose of your Pentecost to magazine, your Praise Him magazine? Because it's always so filled, no matter what. It's Lent, we're learning about the Holy Spirit. It's Advent, we're learning about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, now this one, we're learning about new life in Christ. What's the goal of your magazine?
Well, our goal, and it's part of our mission statement, is for people to experience the full life in the Spirit, that relationship with Jesus. But it just doesn't stop with relationship with Jesus. It includes that whole Trinitarian aspect,
yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living that life in the Spirit so that, you know, people, by our witness of love, by our witness of this, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that they are attracted and hopefully join in this wonderful move of God, this relationship with Jesus, this relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
You know, you're absolutely right, Mother. And as you look at your magazine, I'm looking at the two pages of pictures that cover, I probably think, the entire gamut of the Catholic Church. You have a pre-confirmation retreat, an RCIA retreat, a student's retreat, a woman's retreat. It's a youth conference retreat. It's students at a particular school, a CCD retreat, a vocations event. Your sisters are touching every ministry of the church as they call men and women to life with Christ.
Yes, yes. And, you know, what's really interesting is our bishop has sat down and he's told us many times when he's confirmed these young people, and he doesn't see that response, that flicker of flame of faith in them, and that after we have done these pre-confirmation retreats, he said, I have noticed the difference, and I want you to be in the diocese giving these pre-confirmation retreats to all these students. So we've been very busy because Bishop has kind of given us a mandate on
sure.
that these lives, you know, they get this spark of faith, and we do challenge them, you know, with their life, you know, getting them to prepare their hearts for the sacrament of reconciliation, but also to realize that baptismal call, that indelible mark that has been placed in their soul, and then for them to receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit, that is available to them.
Amen.
You know, through the sacrament of confirmation, that all those gifts are available to them, for them to live this life, this Christian life, that's not easy to live in, but to live it very victoriously, or with the tools, I should say.
Yes. Well, I love that you use the phrase victoriously, because it just seems that whenever God does something amazing, and I've prayed for it, that's the song I hear. This is a day of victory for our God. You know, that Easter song, that we sing. And mm-hmm. anytime somebody comes closer to Jesus, I just think it's a day of victory for our God. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us what you think is the difference in your preparation for the confirmandis than just generic?
I know that our sisters, they pray in advance for the retreat. I mean, they're spending a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time before the Blessed Sacrament, and they're also praying to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, prepare my heart for the words that these young people need to hear. Something like St. Catherine of Siena, you know, she would ask that when she speaks to God's people, that the words would come forth as if God would be directing them. And so I know our sisters, they take that to heart and they do pray. So they're almost getting ready for like a tailor-made retreat. It's not something that you've done the last time. Right. I mean, the message may be the same, but it's tailor-made because now they are open vessels of the Holy Spirit to get that message that those young people need to hear that's going to touch their heart. Amen. So I think that's the difference, is the preparation and really asking God for them to be that special instrument to touch that heart that needs to hear that message.
Praise God. Well, as a catechist with confirmation students, it is not for the faint of heart. So I really commend your sisters that they are warrior queens as they go into that battle, because I don't think we need to tell anybody that there is a battle raging for the souls of our young people. And we know that Christ is the victor in that battle if we just ask him. Well, that is amazing. Do you have a favorite evangelistic outreach? One you like more than the others? Or?
You know, I know God has gifted me with the gift of music,
yes.
And I play the guitar,
yes.
And mess around with other musical instruments. And you know, I've been blessed with a voice that I feel, you know, is blessed. And I really feel like ministering in music is probably where God uses me the most. Mm-hmm. I know also, you know, with public speaking, I've been doing it since Vacation Bible School.
Wow.
And with little kids and everything that God's prepared me to, you know, speak in front of the masses, I've done that. So I think between the two of ministering in music, mm-hmm. and then speaking in with different groups is really probably what I enjoy doing, and also one-on-one. Like if I sit by somebody in an airplane that I just know that God has me sitting by them, that I, you know, I'll be praying that God opens the door. And if, you know, some comment comes up or I, you know, initiate, that it's really beautiful. I love that one-on-one ministry as well.
Amen. Well, I could, having been the benefactor of both, I can say that you do those very, very well, sister, and I am always blessed, as are those in attendance. Now, what's next for the Disciples of the Lord Jesus? What is going on with your sisters?
Well, I mean, we're always praying and discerning, you know, for asking God for some open doors. And so we're praying about that. I can't mention what that is right now.
No, I won't ask.
Yeah, but we are praying, you know, is God continuing to call us to one of the dioceses that we're in right now? You know, it obviously we will always stay in our Diocese of Amarillo, but
right.
Is he calling us to expand in one of the dioceses? And then, you know, we're always constantly getting different bishops or a connection with a bishop saying, sister, we need religious sisters in our diocese. Would you pray and discern? So we constantly get, bishops or, you know, priests that are the spokesperson for the bishop discerning if we would enter into that discernment process. So we are doing that right now, seeking God's face to what we are going to do. But, you know, we're getting ready for our sisters in Africa. to do that mission. And they work with Renewal Ministries,
yes,
which is in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Right. And that is Ralph Martin and Peter Herbeck, right?
Correct, correct. And the country coordinator is Tom Edwards. And so our sisters are going to be going to that. We do have a sister from Africa, and so she will be going as a minister, but also as a translator. So one of our sisters originally from Texas, she will be going there for her first time as a missionary to Africa. And I did experience that a number of years ago, and it was in the middle of literally a jungle. And these people just come out of the jungle into this open-air place, and we're talking about thousands.
Wow.
Just come in. It's like, where did these people come from? And then what was really struck my heart probably so much is, you know, the African Catholic people, very devout.
Yes.
And when the priest had the monstrance and was doing the procession among the masses, that the women with their beautiful head garments, beautiful,
right,
I mean, beautiful colors, she would lay them down, and then the Blessed Sacrament would walk,
yes,
on this garment that was on her head. And there was like this whole walkway filled,
yes,
with these beautiful colors, and Jesus was being adored and glorified, and people were kneeling in adoration. And to me, that was kind of a highlight of that experience, is Jesus being glorified.
Amen.
And whatever we said as, you know, ministers of before these people was pale to what was going on when Jesus was speaking his word and being exposed in the Blessed Sacrament was just so beautiful.
That is truly, now where in Africa are you going, or is that part of the top secret?
No, it's not a top secret.
Okay.
Actually, I know that Renewal Ministries has been invited by all the dioceses in Tanzania, so they take turns. I am not quite sure which diocese they are going.
Okay.
I know they've gone to Dar es Salaam, and I went to the diocese, I think it's called Robo, near Kilimanjaro, and so I am not quite sure where it is
this time around. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, sister. But we will be praying for your partnership with Renewal Ministries in Africa and the sisters that will be going to Africa. We will keep them in our prayers.
Thank you.
Oh, it is our privilege to partner with your prayer ministry and with your sisters. And we are going now into our second break, and when we come back, we will continue talking to Mother Lucy about the Disciples of the Lord Jesus.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org. To find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause, and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, listeners. And I know that our summers are busy, and yet this wonderful event, Unpause the Cause, go to the FultonSheenMovement.com and be sure to attend on July 9th. It's going to be an amazing event and certainly one who that builds the opportunity to promote Fulton Sheen for canonization. And if there is, I mean, when we think back to what he used to do on television, I mean, he beat out Milton Berle for an Emmy. So when the Lord is using a great priest and bishop like Fulton Sheen, let's not miss this opportunity to promote his cause for canonization. So we're talking to Mother Lucy, and your sisters are having an event tonight at the Holy Spirit Convent. Well, I guess they moved it from what the brochure says, but they're sponsoring a praise event tonight, right?
Yes. Go ahead.
And these festivals of praise run all summer long. And if you go to the Ark and the Dove worldwide.org, you can see the opportunities that in the Midwest you could join in praising God and having just a wonderful time at the Ark and the Dove. And that's on tonight, on Friday, June 23rd, July 28th, August 25th, and September 22nd. So save those dates, listeners, if you are in the Pittsburgh area, and get online and see where they're being held. I believe tonight they've moved one to the church. Due to the local weather not being helpful to an outdoor event. So tell me, why would the sisters have a praise event?
You know, and part of our charism is to praise the Lord. So it is amazing to see how many young women come to our congregation who have amazing musical gifts. So one of the ways in which we ministered, and I mentioned this already, is, you know, I feel very comfortable. I feel very gifted in that area of praise. But these women, they are going to share that gift with others, bringing them into that experience of God, into the heart of Christ through praise, through worship, through the ministry of praise and worship. Because we know that when we praise God, God can touch hearts, yes. And he can bring healing. He can bring emotional healing, physical healing. I've seen this happen, and it's just amazing to see how God works. And I would love to be a fly on the wall at St. Alexis Parish, seeing the sisters minister and praise. It will be a beautiful event and amazing.
Praise God. And now, Sister, tell us what your community's biggest needs are.
Our community's biggest needs are, at this point, we are in the process of building an aging in place and chapel. We have raised, I would say, pretty much two-thirds of the amount of money. We need $3.1 million, and we, as of yesterday, we have $2.3 million. You know, and I know these gentlemen, even as I speak, they're working so hard out there that, you know, they've tried to, you know, give us really the best deal possible, and their work is quality here. So that is probably our biggest need right now. I foresee that as we respond to that initial fervor of Mother John Marie to go out to the whole world, that we would need help with our mission work as well, you know, financing our missions. You know, if we were to open a house in, say, Africa or someplace in Europe, that we would need, you know, financial help to do that. Because as we know and we see the church We know that God's people, they really need the support and grace and added grace. And we know that Europe is in dire straits right now.
Yes.
And if God were to send us there, you know, we would need a lot of spiritual support as well, but we would need that monetary support to further God's kingdom.
Well, and I think that for you to say that you need this help right now, I remember the story of Mother John Marie, and she got books on how to build a house. And I know, it set herself and other sisters to work building this house in the heat of Texas, and she was successful. But I appreciate now that you ladies are turning this over to individuals who are trained in the craft. And yes, it's a wonderful opportunity to be part of giving back to your elderly sisters, those that have served in the mission and have been part of the evangelization. And now it's time for them to have a place where they can be comfortable as they are aging. And so if somebody wants to find out more about that mission, where can they go on the website?
So you can Google Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Franciscan Sisters. Again, Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Franciscan Sisters. And it'll automatically point to our website if you Google that. So I think that would be the best way to contact us at this point is to just Google Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Franciscan Sisters, you know, because it could be confused with Disciples of Christ, Latter-day Saints.
No, and you are
so
not.
That's why.
You are not a Latter-day Saint.
We're not.
You're saints for today, sister, as far as I'm concerned. You guys are saints for today.
Yes, yes. So, and you know, Loretta, as you were mentioning about Mother John Marie getting these carpenter textbooks, I was there seeing her on the slab in her work clothes, and she had her foot propped up on a lawn chair, opened the carpenter textbook, and she was giving us instructions how to build a wall. How far apart. It was amazing. And so that memory is forever imprinted on my wall. And then when we would raise that wall up, maybe in a 16-foot section, we would ring the bell, the monastery bell. And the sisters would come from, you know, different parts of the convent, and they would help raise up this wall. And it was just amazing to be a part of that.
Amen.
I thank God. I thank God I was there. You know, at the beginning stages of all these buildings that we built, and I did learn how to do it, and so I can appreciate and give my two cents about what's going on right now, because I know when somebody's building something good and when they're not. That's why I say they're doing an amazing job. They
praise
really are.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, it's that Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God, and I know your sisters. I know whenever we do a conference or have an event here in Chicago, the first place the renewal calls is, can we get on the prayer list at Prayer Town with the sisters? Because it is a guaranteed success that they will ask the Father and He will send His assistance. Praise God.
Yes.
Now, you've been a sister now for how many years?
I entered the convent in 1982. And so I've been in 41 years. I made vows in 1984. So, you know, for my young age, you know, some people would kind of, well, when I was first made superior, I was superior at the age of 38.
Oh, my goodness
and
gracious.
So, yes. And so, you know, God has been with me. I've counted on His grace. And He would remind me that the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, Franciscan Charismatic Community Congregation, is His community.
Praise
it's not
God.
Mine.
Praise God.
And I had to lean on Him, and literally when I would do that, I would just feel the weight just kind of lift, because I realized it was His community. And I didn't have to carry that. His yoke is easy. His burden was light. Nice. And he was going to help. And so he is faithful, and he's always been faithful, and he continues to do so.
You know, Mother, that is just the template for prayer in every family structure, in every corporate structure, and, you know, religious. You lean on the Lord, you trust in the Lord, and he carries it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What would you say? What would you say is the most important thing that you have learned in all your years as a sister and as a superior, a mother superior?
You know, I know leaning on the Lord's very important, and I know in John, I think it's John chapter 13, it says, "They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another." And we cannot go wrong by loving more. We cannot go wrong by loving greater. We cannot go wrong by loving the least. When I see, you know, the sisters, when they're having their bad day, I can love them by giving them a hug. I can, you know, smile them. Or when I go out and minister, if I can show, you know, God's love to them by a smile, by encouragement to them. So I would have to say, you know, love, and that was the symbol God gave our foundress, is to have the cross with love. Mm-hmm. And Mother John Marie would say that says it all. And we do carry this big cross in our belt, with our habit. And, you know, this cross is 14 inches long by probably 7.5 inches. And so we carry that cross, but that we carry that cross with love. And, you know, when Mother John Marie would say, when people would look at our crucifix, she said, you know, this is what Jesus did for me, dying on the cross. And this cross that I wear in my belt, that's what I do for him. I carry my cross, but I carry it with love. And that's my message. It's the love is Jesus.
Praise God. Well, when we come back from our last break, we're going to hear more from Mother Lucy. This is Loretta Frelick filling in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
I'm Loretta Frelick, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
I'm Dr. Peter Howard, founder of the Fulton Sheen Movement. On July 9th, join me and Father Tom Loya at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen for an historic rally to fan the flame of love and devotion to Venerable Fulton Sheen. We need Fulton Sheen's intercession and guidance now more than ever. We're gathering to pray for his cause and especially for the Holy Spirit to move the church to set a new date for his beatification. Starting at 10 a.m., come and pray with us. Enjoy a delicious cookout and hear inspiring talks on Sheen by Father Loya and myself. Activities are planned for the whole family. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com for a complete schedule and to sign our global petition to unpause the cause of this great prophet for our times. Co-sponsored by WFSI, this rally is your chance to make a difference. I'll see you all on July 9th.
Bye now, and God love you.
Welcome back, listeners. We're here with Mother Lucy of the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ Sisters from Prayertown, Texas. And their website, if you are looking to find a way to contribute to the home project they're building for their elderly sisters, you want to go to www.dljc.org or the Disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be confused with the Latter-day Saints. Right, sister or mother?
Yes! Oh, my goodness.
And truly, 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 listeners, I really want to encourage you. You know, what was it that Mother Angelica used to say on her show? You know, put us between the electric bill and the, I don't know, the something else. But she wanted to squeeze you in right in between where others would be. And, you know, just even if you send sister a little, those sisters have served the Lord God. So you cannot go wrong by making sure they can rest their head comfortably. Now, sister, your community, you've said in our conversation, is, you know, evangelization and joyful praise. And what would you say, you know, because you are always so joyful and, you know, you have the responsibility of new ministries in Africa and places unknown. You know, you have at least four other places where your sisters have a convent. You know, you've got this building project. You are always so joyful. I mean, I'm not even, you know, after a long flight from Europe, you're joyful. You're not complaining and you're not. What do you attribute that to?
It's the relationship with Jesus, spending that time with him. You know, I think, you know, and the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. That it has to be that relationship with God. And I see that in all my sisters. You know, I can't claim it as my only gift because I do see sisters that they are joy, but I see them spending that time with Jesus, having that deep relationship with God, knowing and trusting that he is going to take care of everything. So just don't cling to it. Just let go and let God.
Well, you're so right when you say it's in all of your sisters. And, you know, wherever I see them at conferences or ministry opportunities, there is that joy that just radiates from all of them. And so I guess my question to you for our listeners would be, because I knew you were going to say that it's the relationship with Jesus. Because I can tell when I have spent time in adoration, I can tell when I haven't. And in fact, my own family will point me to that place. It was so funny. I was having a discussion with my darling nephew who worked so hard to help me. And we were going to discuss something that had gone wrong. And I said to him, now, would you like to have this discussion now or when I come back from adoration? And I'm thinking more of a time schedule. How does this time work for you? And he looked at me, goes, oh, no, Aunt Lorette, let's do it after adoration.
Oh, my goodness.
So clearly,
well, I was going to tell you, yes. Loretta, you have the joy of God too. Just all the times I've been with you, I see that joy just bubble forth. So, and I know it's because of the time you spend with God.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, my friend gave me this wonderful little sign that she found for Christmas, and it just said, "She talked to God daily, and so she was lovely." And I just thought to myself, isn't that what we all want to be, one to the other? We don't want to be that crabby person. And I can just go to that side of the universe real quick. But what would you tell our listeners is the best way to get that joy?
Well, I think, you know, spending more time, if you can on your knees, that's always better.
Yes.
But spending time before the Blessed Sacrament or in your living room, maybe you have a crucifix or just spending time and just letting God love you. I don't know which saint that said this, but he said, take the crucifix and look at the hand and let the hand speak to you of Jesus' love. And then look at the pierced side, look at his feet, and let Jesus speak to you of his love and those thorns in his brow. Let them speak to you of his love. And I think when you spend time in the presence of God, merely just letting him love you, I mean, he knows we've fallen short. We fall short every day.
Amen.
But letting him love us so that we can, you know, return to him, maybe through the sacrament of reconciliation, so that he can love us more. Because that's his goal for Amen. Us, is that we know we are truly loved by him. And Amen. That we can live in that love and that we can spread that love
Amen.
To one another.
Amen. And, you know, one year I was just so taken back. The Lord revealed to me in that time that I spent with him in prayer, it was kind of like a revelation. Do you know that when the Father looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus? And, I mean, I spent a year telling everyone that. I was so amazed. But when you think about it, the gift that Jesus gave us by dying on the cross, that mm-hmm. we become the righteousness that is Jesus, we're not the lump sum total of our, you know, fears and failures. We are the righteousness of Christ, and that's what the Father sees. So it extends from Jesus to our relationship with the Father, that he, like, is mm-hmm. totally amazed and, like, crazy in love with us.
Mm.
And you mentioned...
I just love that. That's beautiful, Loretta. Thank you.
And, you know, you mentioned a great saint, St. Catherine of Siena. You know, I always tell my students that her phrase, that Jesus, he's pazzo d'amore with you. He's crazy in love with you. So he's not just in love because God's love and God should love us. And, you know, it can become sort of pat. No, he's crazy in love with you. Think of who's crazy in love with you. Like, lovers are crazy in love with each other. Mothers are crazy in love with those little babies they hold. Teenagers are crazy in love with their teenage crush. And so you look at all these expressions of crazy in love, and that's how we should see ourselves, that Jesus is crazy in love with us.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. I love that. That's wonderful.
Well, sister, we're almost running out of time now, but I would like to ask you if you would just say a prayer for all of our listeners today so that they can become crazy in love with Jesus through that personal mm-hmm. relationship and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, I would love to. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you see the hearts of every individual that is listening to this. We pray for, first of all, their needs, their prayer intentions. Lord, we pray that you would not only hear them, but you would answer them. Jesus, and the message of love, Lord, that they would know in this moment that they are so loved by you, or that their past is in your hands, and Lord, that you are ready and willing and open to receive all of them, or that you would just bless these individuals. You would bless their families. You would bless the hearts that are broken. Bless the hearts that are grieving. And that all of your people, all of those who are listening, would be drawn close to the heart of God. Jesus, we entrust them to you, to our Blessed Mother, to all the holy saints and angels. And we ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And again, I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to help the sisters, please go to their website, disciplesofthelordjesuschrist.org. And we're not talking about those, we're talking about the sisters in Prayertown, Texas, not the Latter-day Saints. And we also would like you to continue with all of our prayer requests. You know who we're praying for. Cardinal Zen, Jimmy Lay, Nicaraguan Bishop Rolando Alvarez, and for the conversion of Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo, that they may free the priests and the catechists from Modelo Prison in Jesus' name. Thank you, Mother Lucy, and thank you, listeners, for joining us today. We'll see you Monday on the Mary and Loretta version of Father Anthony Bush's radio, Winds of Change. God bless you.
When the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We be strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide.